I've been looking on Wednesday night. I have a fellowship out in Northport, and I've been doing that for a year and a half or so, and we've been looking at the book of James. So I thought we could look at some of James here this morning, especially chapter 1. James is the first epistle after the day of Pentecost. It was the first one written. It's before it comes in about Acts chapter 6. It's pretty early in the first century church. It's all practice in this epistle. There's no doctrine in it. It's not teaching you about God. It already assumes that you know the law. It already assumes that you're good. You know who Jesus is. Because, again, this was way early, and everything was pretty good in the first century church at that point. But how to live it and what to expect was really necessary, and it encourages each and every one of us how we're to live this word and do it. The first thing that comes up in life, when you become a Christian, is, like for me, I thought if I became a Christian, everything was going to go well. Did you ever think that? All right, I don't put you on the spot. I mean, I got God. I was so excited. I got God. I got Jesus. I got eternity. He'll answer my prayers. I mean, what could go wrong? It's still the way I think, but I'm not that foolish to think nothing goes wrong. Because he tells us all over the place in the Bible that things are going to go wrong quite often. But he will always be there, and he will help us. So, in the first century church, James is the half-brother of Jesus, by the way. This is not James, the one, James, John, and Peter. This is not that James. That James is not the man. This is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Probably his second born of Mary. Mary had Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And then she had six other kids, all right? And this James is probably the second born. But I can't prove that, but more than likely he's the second born only because when they list them, he's the first one listed. So if you count them, like if you go Javier and Giovanna's three sons, you go from the oldest to the youngest. Right? When you're all by yourself, you get number one position no matter what. So that's the only evidence I have of that. But I wanted to go through this first chapter. And the first thing that God wants his people to know is how to deal with the temptations that come in life. I mean, if you can deal with and handle the things that come your way, you're going to do okay. All right? So, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. Now, that's a shocker. What's your attitude supposed to be when stuff comes your way? You count it all joy. Now, we'll see why here in a little bit. But this should be like an attention grabber, if nothing else. It took me years to figure this one out, just from a practical point of view. Count it all joy. Knowing this, This is why. That the trying of your faith works patience. It works endurance. That's the word patience. But let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, entire, wanting nothing. This, the trying of your faith, when stuff comes your way, whatever it is, I mean, it can be from within, it can be from your own lust, it can be from things that you're tempted to take you away from God, it can be things that come from the outside, you know, other people attacking you, health, anything, whatever the heck it is. It says, know this, that the trying of your faith, and just for clarity, you all know faith is having confidence and trust, right? Faith is not a super spiritual word. And when I listen to the guys, when I listen to people talk about it, I think they think it's some kind of super spiritual word. Faith is simply a word that means to have confidence and trust. You can have faith in anything. Your faith in school, government, not too many, but some people do. You can have faith in the chair. You can have faith that in your job. You can have faith in anything. The question is not whether you have faith or not, ever. And this is the reason why I make a big deal out of this morning. The deal is you have all the faith that you're going to ever get. What do you have faith in? That's always the issue. If you have faith in a person, they can let you down. Okay? My wife has faith in me. I've let her down. Believe me. Okay? We're just people. So we've been married 42-43 years, coming up to 44, right? Coming up to 44. See, I mean, I just blew the faith right there. So you don't even know how long we're married. So, but there's a limitation because John McCabe is not perfect. He can't be absolutely like God trusted because he's human, he's flawed. So there's a confidence and a trust, but it comes with, you know, what would you call one of those things? An asterisk. See, it doesn't mean it's bad or evil. It's just there's a limitation. Okay? I have great faith in my car, but I do know that it's going to go to the shop sooner or later. If I have faith in God, and I really understand his word, then I have something that's got no asterisk. Just keep your finger here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 20, it says, for all, wait till you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every promise of God is affirmative. It's absolutely, completely, can't be canceled out. It's absolutely true. And it is amen. And amen is not a word that you just put at the end of the prayer to end it. Amen means so shall it be. It's absolutely affirmative. A yea in 1611 English. And it is absolutely coming to pass. So shall it be, so shall it be done. Every promise. That's why we sang the first song, Standing on the Promises. Okay? There's a method to my... Go back to James. The trying of your faith, your confidence and your trust in God works endurance. Okay? But let this endurance, this patience, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. When you go to God, He will do what He says He'll do. You got confidence and trust in Him? He'll do it. If any of you lack wisdom, how to apply the Word of God in any situation? I mean, the Bible doesn't cover every little detail in life. You know, what do I do if I lose my job? Well, you can pray and get another one, but it doesn't tell you how. If you need wisdom, how to apply the knowledge? Let him ask God, that gives to all men liberally and abrideth not. He never yells at you for asking. You know, my old man used to yell at me for asking. Hey, Dad, how do I do this? I've told you 20 times already. A little lack of, asterisk, remember? Not with God. Not with God. You have to ask and ask again and ask again and ask again. He'll give it to all, and this says all men. Doesn't even say believer and unbeliever, does it? You know, when I was an unbeliever, I cried out to God, help me. Guess what? He did. All right? He gives to all men liberally, and He never abrides you. He never criticizes you for asking. Never. I just think that how many times can I ask God for the same thing? You know, I mean, isn't this got old? He doesn't. He always gives us what we need. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea. It's driven with the wind and tossed. The one thing that you have to do is you have to ask with absolute confidence, knowing who you're dealing with. In faith. You can't waver. Maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't do it. How do you get to that place where you don't waver? You read what's written in His Word. You take Him at what He says. And you convince yourself by your study. What God said to us in the manifestations. You convince yourself of what is the will of God by reading His Word. And then you build that confidence. This is the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He says that all of His promises are yea and amen. Then I identify His will. I identify the promise. I come and ask Him, give me wisdom. Well, how do I do this? I need help. I got this temptation. I got this circumstance. I got this thing that's coming my way. I don't know what to do. Or I need help in understanding how to deal with it. And whatever that is. And He will help. But I got to do this with an absolute confidence. And the only way you get there is faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, it's driven with the wind and it's tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. This is the one thing that's absolutely required. And if you when you read the scriptures, you see this all throughout the Word, from Genesis all the way through. To understand that I need to have faith in what he says. Remember in Hebrews, it says, it's not too far from here, Hebrews 11, 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the one thing that's required. You build that faith by putting on his word, by looking at what the promises are, recognizing who you're dealing with, and you build that confidence in your life. It says here, verse 7 again, for let not that man think it that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. An individual who is, he's all over the place. I don't know what to do. Okay, that's unstable. So, chill. Ask for the wisdom. Ask for help. God will give liberally. Trust him. Believe what he says, because all of his promises are yea and amen. It's some place that you, and through the years in my life, you start at a certain place, whatever the heck that is. You know, just like anything else, you start, like I used to worry about a job. Then I stopped worrying about it. God kept answering that prayer so often. I didn't have to worry about it anymore. Then I would worry, well, do I have enough, in finances? And then I don't have to worry about that anymore. He has proven himself to me and answered so many prayers throughout all these. I don't even pray about it anymore. I literally don't pray because I know whatever I need will be there. Now, there are other things in life. I'm praying. Do you see what I mean? There are other things in life that have come up, and it's not that I don't have trust in him, I do, but I haven't seen maybe this one come up before. And so, you know, I'm not so sure what to do here, Lord. You know, it's like when you're 25, you pray for certain things in life, and when you're 65, your prayers change. But everything changes. I didn't have to worry about whether the shoulder was going to move or not, you know? My prayers before my feet hit the floor are very different than they used to be. Then it says here, and this threw some people sometimes, but just put it this way, because these first seven verses, or first eight verses, are very much what to do. You got stuff come up in your life? This is what you do. This is what is required of you, which is faith and trust. And you got to control your mind. Then let the man of low degree rejoice that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he passeth away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, and is withered the grass, and the flower thereof fadeth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Now, why are these verses in there? You know, the people on, like, if you're born on the bottom of the barrel, you know, the other side of the tracks, and you get to know God, all of a sudden you're elevated big time. But the people who were born on the other side of the track, the ones that got everything, like Moses, remember Moses? He was a prince of Egypt. He was living in the wealthiest, most powerful, the biggest house, the palace. And he chose the Lord, and what did it get him? Taking care of sheep for 40 years. There are people who really think that their stature in life means something. The guys who got everything, hey, I've had people say this to me. Well, what do I need to pray for? They're multimillionaires. What do I need to pray for? Life's short, pal. You ain't taking it with you. There ain't no roof racks on hearses. And that's why it's here. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter your pedigree. Doesn't matter anything. We all need God's help, and we all need to humble ourselves to him. And if this brings you up from the depth of wherever you've been in society, well, praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord that way. But no high-mindedness. You know, well, I really don't need. I got my 401k is full. I don't have to pray. I don't have to give or rejoice. I don't have to be thanked. Do you see what I mean? Because everybody's in the same boat. We live our lives. It's short. And it's over. Then it says, and the reason for this whole little thing here, blessed is the man, verse 12, that endures temptation. The person that endures it, for he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, in dealing with life itself, life is a test. Your whole life is a test. Are you going to believe the Lord? Are you going to stay faithful to him? Are you going to trust him? Are you going to rely upon him? Are you going to live his way? The whole life is a test. Because eternity is where it's at. I mean, I'm 65. You're how old now? 20. And I'm telling you, it was a short period of time between 20 and 65. It's just a short period of time. The whole thing is about eternity. Jesus Christ came to redeem us of our sins so that we could have eternity. He lived, he bled, he died, and God raised him so that those of us who believe on the Lord will live for him. And when we die and fall asleep, he will raise us to be with the Lord forever. This is what it's about. It's not just about the now. And the crown of life is for all those who love him. There are seven crowns in the Bible. I can only tell you what I know, that they're there. What do they look like? What is it? I can't tell you. We'll find out when we get there. But he's promised those who love him the crown of life. Let no man say when he is tempted. Now, here's another huge one, because you get this all the time with people. Why'd God do this to me? What happened? Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt thee any man. You can supply with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. Now, this is talking about sin. This is talking about your sin nature, your old man nature. It's talking about circumstances here in a little while. But the point is, most of the temptations that come our way, most of my fears, most of my appetites, whether they be lust and sex or drugs or getting drunk or anything else people do, all right? It's all from, hey, I want to feel good. So they entice. You got these things within you unless you control your mind. You know, you get enticed. All right? This doesn't come from God. That's number one big point. So there must be some other besides your own lust. You got another God out there. And when lust has conceived, if you get enticed and then you keep it and you follow through, it gets conceived. And it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And we're talking about eternally. Do not err, my brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what the Father of lights means? There's no dimming. No variableness with him. There's no shadow. It's on. God is light, and in him is no darkness. When he gives you the wisdom, the light is on. There's no maybe. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. God, by his own decision, he decided to begat us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation, his creatures, his creation. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to hear. Excuse me. Swift to hear, slow to speak. That's dyslexia. Slow to speak. That would be a fun one, wouldn't it? And slow to wrath. So, swift to hear. And what are we talking about? God, his wisdom, his word, his things. Slow to speak. Which there's going to be an entire chapter to deal with the mouth later on in the book. Okay? And slow to wrath. If you think about those three things, how much trouble would you stay out of if you obeyed that sentence? Just that sentence. Make sure you get all the information. Listen, learn. All right? Keep your mouth shut. The first thing that comes out of your mouth is usually not the wisest. And then, just think about road rage. Slow to wrath. You know, people react and do such absolutely obnoxious, dangerous things that they would never do if they just thought. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. The way in which men deal with life, this doesn't work the righteousness of God. What comes natural, your default settings, You know, like when the computer goes down, you push the button and it goes back. Well, our default settings are not cool. Our default settings are, what's in it for me? You know? Essentially. The wrath of man, the anger of man, the uncontrolled individual who's not disciplining himself or anything, it doesn't do anything well. And certainly doesn't do the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You engraft this thing in like you graft on a branch on a tree. You know, it doesn't come natural. You've got to engraft it in your life, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, because that's what a deception is. Oh, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't do it. That's, you know, I know God. He'll say later on in the book, so the devils know who God is too. Just knowing you know him don't mean nothing. But if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's looking in the mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and that's another description of Scripture. It's the law of liberty. You do this, you're free. Seems like I'd be free if I'd done anything that I felt like. No, you're just a servant to sin. It's like none of you guys would know this. You know, you got to serve somebody. It was an old Bob Dylan song. Bob Dylan was before most of your time. Verse 25 again. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself spotless from the world. You want to worship him perfectly? Real religion? You know, we don't use the word religion too much around here, but real walking with God, real worshiping God, take care of those, the widow, the fatherless, be merciful, kind, loving. Take care of those that need help. And then keep yourself by living what the word says. Keep yourself spotless from the word. This is, and the person who's, I know it, but I don't do it. They are self-deceived. The first chapter of this very practical book tells you, what do you do? Why do I count this all joy? I got God with me. This has come up. This is an opportunity for me to see my God work. I have him walking with me, helping me. I have a Father who can't be beat. I remember when I was a little kid, one of the nicest memories I had, I was just this little kid, 7, 8, whatever it was, and all my buddies were beating up on me that particular week. You know, we did that to each other all the time. It was good for you. I mean, it was good for it toughened you up a little bit. You know what I mean? It caused you to learn to stand. But this particular week, I was the guy everybody was messing with, right? And Dad and I walked out the door of the apartment building, you know, and I had his hand, and I remember my hand was up here, right? Because he was about my size, and I was a little fellow. And I'm looking at all my buddies. You can't touch me. Look who's with me. And I am just like, I'm like the king of the hill. You can't touch me. You can't mess with me. You can't even look like you want to mess with me. Because I'm with my dad. That's the way I feel every day of my life. You count it all joy. No matter what comes my way, my Father's with me. I ask him for help. He gives me liberally whatever I need. And there's a crown waiting for me at the end of this road here. There's a crown because I love him and I've trusted him. I know that this stuff doesn't come from him. It doesn't even come from me. But I learned to control my mind, my mouth, my actions, live according to his word. And it's a blessing. This is the law of liberty. So this is just a very practical, you know, this is Christianity 101 on the things that come up the most, the things that knock us, why does this happen? What happened here? You know, I mean, how many stupid people, why did God let this happen? Because they don't know God. They didn't even read the book. They'll blame him for everything, but they don't bother to even find out what he thinks. So that's what I want to share with you this morning. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for your mercies, my God, and thank you for the instructions in Scripture. Thank you for freeing us, my God, in our hearts and minds, and whatever comes our way, I thank you that we can come to you and you will be there. And we praise you and love you in the name of Jesus Christ. They also thank you for blessing the food that we're about to enjoy. Thank you for those that give, my God, for blessing them back. Thank you for taking care of your people. And we love you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.